In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, we read these words from verse 18. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. We want to talk about the alternative society. In his book, The 100, which was a ranking of the most influential persons in history, author Michael Hart attempts to place history's most important people in the order of their impact on the world. This ranking was not based upon the individual's moral worth or strength of character, but simply to recognize the overall significance of their lives and philosophies upon the community of man. Incredibly, Jesus Christ was ranked third behind Muhammad and Sir Isaac Newton. Hart explained that the Son of God was demoted from the top position solely because of the inability of his followers to obey and implement his teachings. And so there is a sense in which the followers of Jesus would demote Jesus from being the supreme Son of God and the most important person in history because of our failure to introduce and implement his teachings. It is on that basis that his importance is assessed by people of the world. That's why we want to speak on this particular passage here. Well, these were the final words of Jesus before he ascended into heaven. And I think we all know that final words are very important words between people, between lovers when they're parting from each other. When you're standing at the deathbed of a loved one, those final words are of supreme importance. And so Jesus gives this final word of go into all the world and preach the gospel. And the question really is, have we obeyed this right through to the letter? I think the essential word of it all is go and make disciples. And the making of disciples constitutes God's alternative society in a world that doesn't understand values anymore, that is sick when it comes to life itself, and is in a state of constant confusion. There must be an alternative society that God can use and anoint to bring glory and praise and honor unto his own and holy name. And so we want to look at this passage here, and we look at a number of important aspects of this alternative society, making disciples of men and women. This constitutes the alternative society. The first is that the disciples recognize the authority of Jesus Christ. God's alternative society in this world is under the supreme authority of Jesus. Jesus said, "All authority is given unto me." And he gives this authority to his children to live under, in submission and under the controlling power of his supreme and maximum sovereign authority within their lives. Any other authority, any other allegiance is a downright failure of the worthy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This involves two important things. First of all, responsibility, that we are responsible in terms of how we live. We are responsible in terms of what we do. We are responsible for our time. And so the alternative society learns to live responsibly in a world of chaos and in a world that is undisciplined and doesn't know the difference between right and wrong anymore. It also involves accountability, whereby we are accountable in death, how we lived, to give an account of everything we've said, every deed we've done. And what a great day it's going to be when the world stands to give an account of what it did with Jesus and with the time that he had assigned to us. And as his followers, I believe that our accountability will come. So we recognize the authority of Jesus. Is he supreme in your life? You see, in the kingdom of God, we live under the principles of the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of the world, we can do exactly as we like. We aren't responsible. We aren't accountable. We just do. We act in terms of the impulses of the flesh or the voice of the crowd round about us. But the alternative society is under a different command, under a different authority. He's here on planet Earth to represent the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And there is a new authority within his heart and within his life. In the second place, he has a mission in life. He has a clear-cut mission in life. It's to go and make disciples. The Greek rendering of that passage is that while you are going, in other words, as you're passing through, this means we're just passing through this world. And there's only one kind of real contribution we can ultimately make into this world, and that's to introduce men and women to a vital faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're just passing through, and it's only what's done for Christ that's going to last. It also means our lifestyle is different to the lifestyle of those who are not under divine authority, who are not in this alternative lifestyle, this alternative society. And so God calls us to a new kind of lifestyle whereby we are committed to this mission. What a mission it is. It's to make disciples. Now, how can I make disciples? I've got to be a disciple first myself before I can ever make disciples round about me. And so this is your mission in life, to go through life being a disciple and making a disciple. What a tremendous responsibility in that in life that is. Now, do you have a mission in life? Can your mission statement be written down? For some, it's to just get rich. For others, to be famous and important and to live a comfortable life and all the rest of it. And our mission determines our lifestyles. And the alternative society has come with one supreme mission, and that is to represent Jesus, to be a disciple of his, as well as to be able to disciple others while we are going, while we are walking through the path of life in this tremendous opportunity that God grants to us. Number three, the alternative society discovers true identity. Discovers true identity. You see, Jesus said, "Go therefore and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And this word baptism can mean many things, but if it means one thing, it means identity, whereby we belong. We find our identity in Christ and in Christ alone. And what a difference this is. Now you'll notice in Acts chapter 26 and verse 10 that the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. In other words, before they could be called Christians, they had to be disciples first. I think we've reversed it the other way around. We gladly call ourselves Christians, but to be a disciple, we regard as a long lifetime process, and that's true. But before we can call ourselves Christians, we have to enter into the important role of being a disciple. Therein we find our identity. And you think of the illustration of a couple getting married. A young lady comes to commit herself to a new love in her life, her husband, under whom she will submit herself. She will gladly surrender her name. She will gladly surrender everything in order to be part of him and find a new identity in life itself. What an illustration it is. Your identity, my friend, is not in the job that you have or in the degrees that you have. Your identity lies in your relationship with Jesus Christ. A new commitment in life. You enter into a new world. You have a new name, a new role in life. And that name, that role is dictated to by the nature of the relationship. As you submit yourself to the supreme and maximum authority of Jesus Christ, he is there to give you a brand new identity by whereby you are known as a follower of Christ, as a child of God, as a true committed Christian, as a disciple. Do your family members know that? Do your neighbors know that? Is this the mark that represents and characterizes your life? And so a new identity is discovered. And then in the fourth place, the true alternative society understands our task. Our task is to both learn as well as to teach. We are there to make disciples. Now, Jesus chose his disciples, his 12 disciples, for two reasons. The one was to be with them so that they could learn from him. In other words, to be a true disciple, I must be prepared to learn. I must be teachable, a teachable spirit. What an important responsibility this is. You never reach the stage when you graduate from your walk with God or from learning about the kingdom of God. It's a constant walk, a walk of faith. And then also, it was to be sent out, not only to be a learner, but also a teacher yourself, to teach the disciples, a twofold purpose. And so, to disciple and make disciples. And for this, one has to have a teachable spirit. You are my disciples if you abide in my word, in which we seek to have someone into whose life we inspire and speak into, as well as having someone who speaks into our lives. Each person needs to have a Timothy in their lives, as well as a Paul. A Paul that speaks into your life, and a Timothy into whose life you speak, and you train, and you disciple. For the sake of the ladies, each person needs to have a Pauline and a Timothette in your life, as one seeks to have this clear-cut task clearly spelled out in terms of our spiritual responsibility. And then number five, disciples have a local as well as a global vision. We are told here to go into all nations and preach the gospel. And I think Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 tells us this, that we are to be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. It is essential that as a true disciple, we have this clear balance within our lives. Some people are only witnesses here in Jerusalem, at the home base, and that's as far as it gets. Have no impact whatsoever in world evangelism and world missions. And whereas others are interested in world missions, but have no impact and no influence where they are. We start in Jerusalem, we bloom where we are planted, and that's our basis of witness. Then we move to Judea, to Judea, just beyond our immediate precincts, to those with whom we work and the world round about us. And then to Samaria, those of a different race and a different culture, those who perhaps we are not comfortable with, and those yet who desperately need to know about Christ. I trust that you have a local as well as a global mission. Our job is not to change the cultures, but to drive the evil out of cultures that we encounter in this world mission campaign that we are engaged in. If you're a true disciple, you'll be involved in reaching all nations, starting at the home base, and then reaching out, even if it's only through financial and prayer support, to make some impact in reaching the nations of the world, which we surrender our time, our talents, and our treasure to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Do you believe that God loves the whole world? Have you ever prayed for a global vision? Have you ever believed that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation? Have you ever told God that you're willing to go wherever he goes, not just leave it for some dedicated missionary? And by the way, I don't think there's a level of dedication for the missionaries and a level of dedication for us on the home base. We all need to be called and all need to be equally committed. Do you believe God loves all these nations? Are we just a consumer of the gospel or a partner in the gospel? Are you investing your time in God's global mission? In God's, your talents, in God's global vision, your treasure. You see, the disciples had a global mission. In Matthew 24, verse 14, Jesus said, "And this gospel of the kingdom must be preached as a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come." We are to be committed to world evangelism by going, by giving, and by praying, as disciples become part of God's worldwide program of sharing eternal truth that sets men and women free. This gospel must be preached as a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. In fact, the true disciple, the alternative disciple, the alternative society can only be understood in terms of a supernatural explanation whereby we surrender our lives to the perfect will of a God that we can't see, but whose word we believe and whose program we are prepared to be committed to. Then we find that alternative society are empowered by the Holy Spirit. We have the assurance of his presence. "I am with you always," says Jesus. What a difference. This is the supernatural power of God resting upon our lives, making all the difference between life and death, making such a vital difference in terms of how we live. A supernatural explanation is the only kind of explanation for the alternative society as he sacrifices, as he surrenders, as he walks along and marches to a different drummer. The Holy Spirit is there to support us, to supply us, to enable us to survive. We need the power and the operation of the Holy Spirit. Someone has well said that we need Jesus for our eternal life, but we need the Holy Spirit for our internal life. And the Holy and the alternative society is indwelt and empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit, as he controls and directs your life and keeps you conscious of the Lord's presence at all times. What a tremendous assurance. I'm with you always. His presence, his purposes, his powers become a reality within your life. And then finally, the alternative society has a wonderful future. And so he recognizes the authority of Jesus. He has a mission in life. He discovers true identity in life, where he belongs and who he is. We understand our task in life to make disciples. He has a clear-cut vision, both local and global. And he has the assurance of God's presence at all times. The lo and the go. Lo, I'm with you always, provided you're going. What a tremendous commitment that God makes. But here he is in the final. We have true disciples. The alternative society have a glorious future. He says, to the end of the age, what a future we have. In other words, there is a destiny. There is a time when it will come when all the sacrifice and the suffering will be worth it all. When we see Jesus and all that he has in store for his faithful servants, as he says, well done, good and faithful servant. It's also a day of reckoning when the rewards will be handed out. And I trust you'll be found faithful. Remember, it's not the volume of work that you perform that will bring rewards. It's how faithful you've been in what God has entrusted you to do. And what a day it's going to be. You see, this is not my final home. I'm just passing through. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Are we prepared for the journey of discipleship? It says in John chapter 6, verse 66, when Jesus spelt out the demands of true discipleship, it says, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. And Jesus turned to the 12 and said, do you also want to go away? My friends, God calls you and me to be his true disciples. To be the alternative society in a world that is fast heading towards a Christless eternity. To a world that is lost and is totally confused. We come and present our lives to be living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to him, which is our reasonable service. What you are is God's gift to you. What you do with yourself becomes your gift to God. What kind of a gift will you present to him when we stand before that vital beamer of God and give that supreme supreme gift of having served the Master with our time and our energies. May God bless you and keep you and enable you to be a true and an effective witness to his glory and praise and honor. Amen.